Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Film Haven Reviews. I'm your host Sawyer as always, and boy do I have an episode for you today. This movie's kind of crazy, I'm not gonna lie. We'll get into it in just a second, but we are finishing our very unique theme of art house cannibalism. And wow, what a journey has it been. I'd say it's been really fun for me because I think that it's just kind of an interesting way to get into some very strange movies. They weren't too weird, I guess. Bones and All that's a weird movie, just mostly because of the conglomeration of genres that are going on. You got horror, romance, cannibalism thrown in there and how they can kind of mix those things. Same thing with Fresh. It's kind of like a comedy, but also a thriller, but also a revenge thriller. I mean, there's a lot going on there. There has been some through lines between the first two movies, and obviously the through line between all three of these is cannibalism. But boy, is Dumplings the wild card. Like I said, I was thinking it was going to be the wild card, and while it was, it definitely wasn't the wild card in the way that I was expecting. It is a different movie. It's a Chinese film, which definitely marks it as different. But also, I don't know, the themes are definitely different. But of course, at the root of this movie, just like the others, there is cannibalism. So, of course, as I just mentioned, we are talking about Dumplings today from 2004, the movie called Dumplings. And wow, I just have been trying to think about how I want to tackle this movie because there is just the subject matter is very... how do I say it? In today's climate is very touchy. Touchy is the word. So first of all, I think for the first time in this podcast, episode 51, I'm going to be giving a bit of a parental advisory. So as you've probably already noticed, I don't use foul language or anything. I try to keep the podcast pretty clean, you know, just to reach a wider audience. I'm not trying to, there's no reason for me to use foul language if I don't have to, of course. So while this is not R-rated in the sense of that kind of thing, this is going to be an R-rated discussion in subject matter. It's definitely kind of difficult to talk about. And if you are playing this podcast with around any children, you may want to skip the episode or pause it, or this is definitely not maybe for children's ears, because there's just no way to get around talking about some really pretty rough stuff in this movie. So from here on out, we're going to be talking about some sort of rough stuff. This movie is very unhinged, I'm not gonna lie. There's some of the most unhinged scenes I've ever seen in a movie, and it's not in the way that you might think. It's not like some torture movie or something that's just really, really grotesque in the sense of like a horror movie that you might think. As I alluded to last week, I read a review before I watched the movie that said that the movie is more horrifying than it is a horror movie. This is definitely not a horror movie in the traditional sense of the word, just the way that Bones and All was also not a traditional horror movie, but it had horror elements. And then that is the case in this movie. There is definitely horrifying elements to the movie, but the actual, it's not necessarily your run-of-the-mill horror movie. So the disturbing part. So let's get into the synopsis, and you'll definitely get what I am talking about. So the movie takes place in Hong Kong, and oh god, I can't wait to talk about the setting and the cinematography and stuff like that. But we'll wait. We'll do the synopsis first. So it's in Hong Kong, and it's in these kind of high rises. There's this woman named Aunt May, played by Bai Ling, and Aunt May is known for making these special dumplings that can kind of give you youth. It keeps you young and even reverse your age in a way. And there is this famous TV star who is kind of past her prime and is married to a schmuck who makes a ton of money but doesn't really seem to care about her anymore, and is definitely running around on her and has this mistress at the hotel that they're staying at because their house is getting renovated. It's a whole thing. And she is coming to Aunt May to have some of these dumplings. And of course, as she's coming there, she kind of has a bad vibe, as in like she's maybe a little reluctant to do so because she feels like, well, what are in these dumplings that are so magical? And there is, of course, a twist, not a twist so much as a condition. I mean, you can't just have, I mean, that's part of the movie. Part of the point of the movie in some ways, I guess maybe the most obvious point of the movie, the most obvious theme is kind of that monkey's paw you know, be careful what you wish for kind of theme, where, you know, there is no miracle cure. That is like just that's it. And there's a lot of movies that kind of have that, a lot of movies, a lot of stories, a lot of folklore that have that theme where, you know, people wish for something and they think that maybe they can get something that is impossible when you can't just accept the reality of life, which is like, you know, accept the reality of aging. You're going to get older and eventually you're going to die. And that is such a hard truth for people to understand. And in this movie, this TV star, former TV star, is really having a hard time accepting her age and accepting her natural aging process. And it doesn't help that her husband also has a hard time accepting her age because he's going for younger women, and that's making her feel inferior. It's making her values, her value in herself go down a lot. So it's understandable, but at the same time, at some point you're like, what are you willing to go through in order to obtain that beauty? And that is where the sympathy for the TV star is now, it then turns into, I don't know if repulsion is the right word, but it might be close. So the thing that actually makes this movie so hard to talk about and so touchy for today's society is that the things that are in that dumpling is not just human meat, which of course you could kind of derive from this theme that it would be cannibalism, that it would be human meat that is in there. It's not just human meat. It is fetuses. It is baby fetuses. And basically, Aunt May is going to hospitals that where fetuses have been aborted, and she is using them and cutting them up and putting using them as the meat for the dumplings. And the movie 100% shows you baby fetuses being chopped up. And in some instances throughout the movie, there are babies that are more like pretty much more than fetuses. That's what I mean when I say this movie is very disturbing in a lot of ways and is unhinged. And then there are scenes that I don't think I've ever seen scenes so harrowing in certain ways. For example, I'm just going to go ahead and say, once again, this is parental advisory. There is a scene where Aunt May, basically, because she used to be a doctor, induces a 15-year-old into labor to take the child and then chop it up for the TV star. And the 15-year-old was a product of incest. There's so much going on there that is so just like, icky and not great. But at the same time, it's all serving the aims of these themes that the movie is trying to say. So honestly, I do not get political on this show. And ultimately, like I said, with Bones and All, the movies, and especially these types of movies, like these cannibalism movies, there's the fantasy there. There's a pit of fantasy. This is not necessarily, no one is making dumplings out of baby fetuses and using them as an anti-aging, you know, cure-all. I mean, in the movie, it works. In the movie, the main character, Aunt May, is actually 64 and she looks like she's 30. And that's like part of the movie. So there's a fantasy element to this. No one's actually doing this. So, you know, I think that we can kind of take it a little less seriously than maybe some people would when they see this, because it is upsetting, of course. But it's all serving the theme of the movie, which has a lot to do, I think, with the state of China at the time. I mean, there's a political aspect to this. There's a social aspect to this, and then there's also a philosophical aspect to this, which is, of course, the stuff I was talking about earlier with not being able to accept aging and stuff like that. I mean, that is, I think, and it's also, you know, I'm not a woman, so it's not really my place to be commenting too much on feminist themes and stuff like that. But I do think you don't need a women's study degree to understand that this movie is 100% a commentary on women's beauty and age being a value system but from society, and women being valued by their beauty and their age by society. And that's any society, but also in this culture as well, in China. So before I kind of start getting into all this stuff, I do want to say I really actually enjoyed this movie like a lot. And I think I'm going to, like, just across the board for this theme, I'm going to give this movie an 8.5 out of 10, which may be surprising to some people, because when they hear the words they're chopping up baby fetuses and using them in dumplings, that's going to be like, okay, that's a no for me. Like, how could you give this such a high rating? But the movie is much more than that, since it's not sensational. Once again, I mean, it could be considered sensational because that's pretty much about as like abhorrent as you can get. But at the same time, the movie does it in a way that I guess you could say is tasteful. I mean, I know that's hard to It's hard to maybe wrap your head around if you haven't seen the movie, but if you watch the movie, you'll maybe get what I'm saying. There's definitely a lot of upsetting things in the movie, but there's also a lot of like depth within the commentary, and those things that are used that are so upsetting are not thrown away. One of my things that's upsetting to me whenever I watch a movie that has like child death or animals being killed or all the things that I've complained about a million times in the podcast already, a lot of the things that shock value annoys me is when there's nothing behind it. In this movie, there is shocking moments, but it's used, it's utilized. There is an enrichment of theme behind those shock values. It's not just for nothing. It's not vapid. There is an actual point behind all this stuff, and a multilateral point too. Like I said, there's about three different things going on all at once that this movie's trying to comment on, and a lot of it's in the subtext. Some of it's not so subtle, but a lot of it is. For example, one of my favorite things about this movie is the setting and the cinematography. Now, the cinematography on its own, even take the setting out of it, is so good. Interesting enough, the cinematographer is not Chinese. He's actually Australian. And for those of you who really like this era of Chinese cinema, which is actually kind of a golden age for them, there's a lot of famous movies that I still haven't seen. I'm going to have to do like a Chinese golden age theme at some point, because there's a few of these that are kind of like that you haven't seen that yet theme, like Fallen Angels from 97, and then you've got, or 95, and then you've got Happy Together from 97, and then you've got In the Mood for Love from 2000, which In the Mood for Love is like kind of seen as one of the best movies ever, you know. But he did the cinematography for all those movies. 2046, the movie Hero. I mean, there's so many movies that he's done that are so famous, and so it makes sense that he would be the cinematographer for this movie. But even me not knowing that and just watching the movie like with totally fresh eyes and really complete naivety, I was able to pick up on the incredible cinematography from the get-go. I mean, it really felt like almost every scene was kind of like engineered to increase your attention, increase the themes of the movie. There's like lots of really good mirror shots. I mean, even just to make a scene more interesting. Like, for example, there's this one where there's a couple scenes where this car is driving into the bottom of this apartment complex, and it's like they've stuffed the camera in the back corner behind the gate, and you just have this like really low angle shot, but it's like perfect actually, because not only does it show the grime of the area, but it also perfectly frames the car coming through the gate, and then above that is the apartment complex that is like this super big high rise. And that's when we get to the setting as well, and the setting is part of the theme in my opinion as well, because almost all of the movie is filmed like, you know, 10, 15 stories up, because there is this endless series of high rises, like grimy apartment complexes that are really high up, and they all kind of create this like concrete jungle that is just fascinating. I mean, for someone who lives in an area like Tennessee with just trees everywhere, it was kind of insane to see someone live their entire existence with seeing like there was probably maybe four trees in the entire movie. And only a handful of scenes that were kind of outside of that grimy like jungle, which was just wild to me. And I think that was kind of a subtle commentary on just the existence of that section of Chinese population. And probably in many Chinese populations, because although this is in Hong Kong, which is a little bit more autonomous because of the whole British occupation, it's a whole thing. There's a lot of mega cities in China that are, you know, people are living in that kind of way where you don't even see a park, you know, for months at end or weeks or however long. And I think that there's something to that too, like maybe a crampedness, or I don't know. I just felt like it was seen enough, it was used enough. And there's even another apartment complex that's more circular that has this really crazy kind of perspective when you look over the railing on the inside of the apartment complex. And even the main character, Aunt May, she says like, you know, wow, that's creepy. And you're like literally like 40 stories up looking down, and it gives you vertigo. It's crazy. So the setting was so cool and so foreign to me and interesting. And I really feel like it was a character in and of itself, which, you know, as I've talked about in a couple episodes before, I really love when that is the case, when a movie makes the setting a character as well. Even Aunt May's little apartment that she has is partitioned to where basically the living room is on the right side. And then there's like a little back hallway that just kind of like it's a little elbow. It just kind of like wraps around, and then you see the kitchen. So there's basically a partition between the kitchen and the living room. And so the living room ends up being a sort of waiting room for the TV star. And she is like kind of waiting in anticipation as she hears Aunt May preparing the dumplings. And there's a theme to that as well. This partition, it creates tension. It also, that there's a lot of the sound is being played with a lot in this movie. This is one of the things that actually has a lot to do with the other two movies, the theme. All three of these movies are extremely intimate, and there are these scenes where people are eating food. Almost all three of the movies, I think more so fresh in this one with the eating scenes, but there's these eating scenes and you're just hearing every bit, and it's so disturbing and also just so intimate. The middle movie was also intimate, but more in a maybe romantic way, but at the same time there's a very interesting intimacy between all of these cannibal movies, and I'm wondering what, if any, there is some kind of connection to that. If there's something about, maybe it's because cannibalism is such a personal thing. I mean, to be eating another human, I mean, that's pretty much as intimate as you can be. And at some point, Aunt May actually, like, really towards the end, just goes all out talking about cannibalism and says, you know, cannibalism is actually pretty natural. And she's basically justifying cannibalism through Chinese history. She starts referencing all these different instances of cannibalism in Chinese history and saying that it's very much in our nature to, even between lovers, to want to be inside each other and stuff like that. And when, how can you be more inside of one another by eating each other? I mean, which, once again, that's obviously unhinged. But there is a certain conceptual logic there that maybe can explain the intimacy that I am seeing, this theme of intimacy between all three of these kind of artsy cannibalism movies. And so going back, so we have great sound, great cinematography, great setting, and also a lot of the abortion parts. A lot of these parts about the fetuses and all this is also, that's one of the reasons why too I say there's a point to this, is because I think it's a specific point about China, because they even mention once in the movie, only once, but it's definitely something that is there throughout the entire movie, which is the one child policy that China had for a long time. And that one child policy, if you think about it, considering the population of China, and you consider what the one child policy was, which is obviously, it's very self-evident, it is where a family can only have one child, you can understand that there is going to be a lot of abortions after that. I mean, because you can only have one, it's not like people stop getting pregnant. And so there's this surplus of, I mean, baby fetuses. There's just no other way to put it. And so definitely dumplings is more justified than most in having this specifically upsetting subject matter, because it was probably very specifically upsetting to an entire population to have to abort all these children. And so in a way, Aunt May is kind of flipping the script and saying, well, I'm going to take these cultural lemons and turn them into the fountain of youth lemonade, I guess, which is pretty horrible. But at the same time, you know, what movies are is a lot of times a cultural reflection of the times in which they're being made. And it only makes sense in a way that a cannibalism movie in 2004's China would be, you know, about this specific subject matter. So it really makes sense. And that, I guess I'm trying to justify this movie a little bit more, because I know that for a lot of people, when they hear the kind of twist of the movie or the hook of the movie of the nature of the cannibalism, that they're going to be extremely turned off. And they think, you know, they might even think like, you, what kind of person are you to even want to watch this movie? But I'm telling you, if you watch the movie, and I don't recommend it to people who, I mean, obviously it is upsetting, I'm not going to lie, there is upsetting scenes in this movie, but I think overall I am better off for watching this. And I think that it was a very enriching movie, and I think it was very culturally important for China. And it was very important for me to be able to see this artistic expression within China and the discussion of these types of themes on top of the normal, more human themes of, like I was talking about, accepting your age, accepting your place in life, accepting death, accepting moving on, accepting the unavoidable aspects of life. And not wanting to, I mean, everybody wishes that they could turn back time. Everybody wishes that they could kind of take control of the more nebulous but static things in our world that can sometimes feel so punishing, which, I mean, even just being old, you're just like, I'm being punished for existing. And you want to be able to turn that back. And so that's such a very poignant philosophical and relatable topic to discuss. And I think that you mix that with the cultural implications, the commentary on the setting, and the incredible cinematography, the amazing sound design, and also amazing acting as well. Both the main characters are just killers. And the character development, that's another part too. Of Bai Ling's character, May the Cook, you know, Aunt May, she is so interesting. And her character, you know, she's got a little bit of mystery to her, but she's also has this free spirit. It definitely feels like she has, maybe she's lost her humanity from, you know, consuming babies for so long, but also it feels a little bit like she has been so fed up with the society that she's been given, the cultural situation that she's been given, that she kind of has just gone the other way, flipped it and reversed it, made a business out of it, and just said, you know what, you know, who cares? I'm just going to live my life. It's definitely a little nihilistic, but at the same time, it's so fascinating because she does have such a free laissez-faire attitude, which makes a very compelling character. I think she's kind of funny, and she's always like loves to sing, and she's a little lighthearted for what's going on. She's like very lighthearted compared to the seriousness of the actions that she's taking, the situations that she is involved with. And so I think that just as a movie, as maybe a script, like her character is just written really well. And then of course, Miss Lee, the TV star, she is also a very complex character and goes through a bit of a development, maybe a descent, I would say. She definitely starts off really meek, and then as she gets what she wants, she starts to want more, of course, and then that makes her a little bit more of an aggressive character. And then in the end, she almost ends up becoming the villain, which is very interesting as well. But yeah, I just, as you can tell, I really enjoyed this movie, despite maybe a controversial is the word that I haven't said this entire episode, but it's kind of something that I've been kind of dancing around. This movie has a very controversial premise, especially in this specific day and time, 2024, post-Dobbs, all this stuff going on. It's a very interesting time to be watching this movie. But I think if you look at it through the cultural perspective of the time that it was made in China, you can maybe get a lot out of this. And I think that honestly, I mean, I'm still going to give it an 8.5, but I do think it may be my favorite of the three. Now, of all the movies that I'm going to rewatch, I'm probably going to rewatch Fresh more than the others. But because it's just a fun movie, it's not super serious. This movie, I don't know if I would rewatch. There's some upsetting scenes. There are parts of it that I would love to rewatch, and there are parts that I would never want to see again, I guess I should say. The cinematography makes me want to rewatch it. I was very just stimulated the whole time as a lover of cinematography and of sound design and all the technical aspects of movies. It was just such a treat to watch. But at the same time, it was hard to watch at times. There are definitely some scenes that I only want to view once. So highly recommend this movie for anyone who listened to at least part of this and thought that, wow, this looks interesting. And yeah, so this is going to conclude our cannibalism, art house cannibalism theme. And what an interesting theme it was. Thank you, Emily, for suggesting it, because I think it was such a fun journey and it was such a unique journey. These are the types of themes that I'm trying to do, where I'm trying to connect these somewhat, I know I used the word nebulous before, but these movies that maybe you wouldn't always connect together, and put them together and see what sticks. And I think for all three of these movies, the one through line was the intimacy, which is such an interesting concept to maybe kind of digest and to chew on. Man, I'm not even fazed by the cannibal puns anymore. I didn't even mean to do that, but...
that's one of my favorite things about doing this podcast is being able to take through lines between different movies that maybe have only like tangentially things similar to each other, and then try to make something out of that, you know, try to explore a theme through three different movies that are maybe very different from each other. In this case, I think all three of these movies are very different, but then they have some similarities, and obviously cannibalism being the main one. So next week we are going to be doing a new theme, and that theme is going to be a very fun one for me, which is like classic 70s car chase movies. And these are movies from the 70s that have very famous car chase scenes, or in the case of the first movie we're doing, which is The French Connection, which some of you may have heard of course. There is a very singular famous car chase scene in that movie, and I was just really excited to get to that movie. I haven't seen it yet, and it's just been one of those movies that's been around my head for a long time, and I've just finally decided to sit down and watch it. So we're going to be doing three different movies from the 70s that all have to do with car chases. So that's a fun, might be a little bit lighter than this theme, but still might reveal some hidden gems that you might want to go check out. So I hope you guys have a great week this week, and I will see you next Friday.